Journey from tragedy to triumph. Lesson number four.
When? Why are they going to wrong you? Because you're such terrible people? Huh? No, because we all have a sinful nature. If you haven't been offended by someone, if you haven't been wronged by someone, then guess what's coming? Okay? It's coming. When people wrong you. Text Genesis 41, 1 through 16. Where's Joseph at? He's in Egypt. How did he get there? The Midianites, or they carried him off to Egypt, okay? Was he willing to go? No. Who sold him into slavery? His own brothers. Then when he arrived, he starts to do well for himself. He's purchased by a gentleman by the name of Potiphar, and he works at Potiphar's household. We're not exactly how long he works there. 4, 5, 6, 7. It's no telling. A number of years, okay? Because we're going to find after that, then this woman, what does she do to him? She attempts to seduce him, and what does he do? He runs away, okay? And then when he runs away, she grabs a hold of his coat. And then he runs out of the house, and she keeps the coat as a trophy because she couldn't get him, right? So she shows her trophy to her husband and demands that he be punished. So he ends up in prison. While he's in prison, he starts to do well for himself again. And as a matter of fact, he meets two gentlemen who have come right straight from Pharaoh's court. Okay? One is a butler, the other is a baker. And what do they have in common? They have dreams, okay? They have dreams. And the butler dreams that he's going to be lifted up. And the baker dreams that, oh, something else is going to happen to him, right? What's going to happen to him? His head's going to come off, okay? All right, so now we're down to the point. The Bible says after 2 whole years. Most every scholar is in concurrence that this is 2 years after the butler and the baker's dreams have been interpreted and they've gone back to serve in court and one to go on to his eternal demise, okay? Or at least place of rest, okay? After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile. Now, isn't this interesting? If we were to turn to the book of Daniel and look at the book of Daniel, every time Daniel was dreaming or thinking he was dreaming, or where was he standing? By a river, okay? By a river. And he was standing by the Nile, and behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows, attractive and plump, and they fed in the reed grass. And behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them. And stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows, and Pharaoh awoke. And he fell asleep and dreamed a second time, and behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, thin and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump, full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. So in the morning, his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was none who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my offenses today. Pharaoh was angry with his servant and put me and the chief baker into custody of the house of the captain of the guard. We dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dreams to us, giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream. And as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Let's bow our heads again in prayer. Father, this morning as we look at your word, help us to think about Joseph's plight and the situation and all the mistreatment that he's received. And Father, all the people that have done him wrong. And Father, if there was anyone that had a cross to bear, or Father, if anybody had an axe to grind, certainly it might be Joseph. But let's see how he deals with all that this morning. May you give us understanding as we read, in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 40, we'll have Joseph in prison. He had his hopes aroused for a little while, only to be disappointed. When the butler whom Joseph had asked for help to get him out of prison was restored to his position, he did not remember Joseph. What's coming up next week, children? Next month, children? Mother's Day. Okay? Mother's Day. It's not your anniversary, not your birthday. Most everybody, it's Mother's Day. You know, they sell lots and lots of Mother's Day cards, but very few Father's Day cards. You ever wonder about that? Joseph must have felt very discouraged and betrayed, for he had done all he could to help the butler, who quickly forgot him. Joseph had suffered more, in our opinion, than his share of wrongs. He'd been betrayed by his brothers, then by Potiphar's wife, and now forgotten by Pharaoh's chief butler. Joseph must have felt like the Apostle Paul while in prison awaiting execution. Paul writes to Timothy, "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsake me. May it not be charged against them." Okay? He also goes on to talk about a man by the name of Demas. What does he say about him? "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Like Joseph and Paul, most hurts of the Christian life come because we've been wronged by other people, sometimes even by, what's that next word? Christian friends. Can Christian friends do you wrong? Can your brothers and sisters in the Lord have a negative impact on you sometimes? Yes, they can. So don't be surprised. Acknowledge it. Understand it. They are just human beings saved by grace. What are we to do? Let's look at Joseph to see if we can find some help by first factoring in the providence of God. Okay? There's another word that ends with ints, and most people like it as opposed to the word providence. What's it called? Starts with a C. Another word that ends with ints, okay? And most people prefer that word to the word providence. What is it? Coincidence. Okay? It's not a coincidence. There's no such thing as a coincidence. It is all the way providence. Providence, by Merriam-Webster Dictionary, divine guidance or care, God conceived as the power sustaining and guiding human destiny. How many of you believe that? This book believes it, and it teaches it. We do not know exactly how long Joseph was in prison, but it was at least 2 full years after he had interpreted the dreams of the chief butler and baker. For 2 long and unrecorded years in prison, Joseph waited on the Lord. How long is 2 years? If you were to tell a child that Christmas wasn't coming for 2 years, what would they think? It's never going to come, right? Okay? So that gives you some understanding of 2 years. Okay? If you were a girl waiting on somebody to call you and ask you out, and you waited for 2 years, how long would that be? A long time. Okay? Why do we sometimes have to wait? 1 Peter 1:6 and 7. "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." It is natural to become bitter when we are betrayed or hurt by other people. But remember, okay? How many of you Christians out there this morning? How many of you think you're just natural? Okay? How many of you think you're just a natural being? You're just the natural man. If you're just the natural man, you know where you're going to spend eternity? You're going to spend eternity in a place called hell. Okay? Okay? Because the Bible says we're not just a natural man. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. What is different about us? Well, we have somebody who came to live in our lives. Who is he? The Holy Spirit. We are not just natural if we have the Spirit of God living in us, and we do not have to behave like a natural person. So when you do choose to behave like a natural person, who's at fault? We are. You are. And what is it called? Sin. Very good. You guys are good. Okay? Or we may conclude that trying to live the Christian life just doesn't pay, that honesty and integrity are not always the best policies. That was not Joseph's reaction. He knew somehow God was at work in it all, and indeed he was. Joseph had been a slave in Potiphar's house and a prisoner in his dungeon. For 13 years now, he has faithfully waited. How old is he now, folks? He left home when he was 17, and it's now 13 years later, so he is 30 years of age. 30 years of age. 17 and 13 are 30. Then in one day, God got Joseph released from prison and into the prominence in the palace. How could God possibly do that? There's two things you don't ask about God. Number one is how, and number two is why. Okay? He does it because he wants to. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, he turns it, what? Wherever he wishes. Okay? After 2 long years of waiting, finally the Pharaoh had a dream. Genesis 41:1, followed by another dream. In the first dream, 7 cows, fine looking of fat, are eaten up by 7 other cows that were ugly and gaunt. In the second dream, 7 heads of grain came up on 1 stalk, plump and good, and 7 thin heads, blinded by the east wind, sprang up and devoured the 7 plump and full heads. What's that? That's a fat cow. Okay? That's what Pharaoh saw in his dream. Okay? What's this? It's a skinny cow. And what's interesting, even after the skinny cow ate the fat cows, they still looked the same. What is this? Tell him I can't hear him, okay? It's a beautiful ear of corn, okay? This one here, my wife says is covered with butter, but it was supposed to be a skinny ear of corn, okay? God had both the heart and the dreams of Pharaoh in his hand, for he caused the dreams that greatly troubled him. Remember in the book of Daniel when Nebuchadnezzar and all of them were having dreams, they couldn't remember to tell the dreams to the individuals, could they? They said, no, you have to tell me what my dream was. But here the Pharaoh remembers, okay? And he calls in all of his wise men and he tells them all the dreams are, and they still can't help him. Therefore, Pharaoh sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all its wise men, and Pharaoh told them his dreams, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Why isn't there anyone that can interpret for Pharaoh? Huh? Well, because it came from God, but what else? Huh? God didn't give them interpretation. Who did he give it to? And where's Joseph? He's in prison. And what's Joseph have to do in order to be able to give the interpretation to Pharaoh? He has to get out, right? When Pharaoh could find no one who could interpret his dreams, his butler remembers, guess who? Joseph. He then tells the Pharaoh about Joseph interpreting his dreams and that of the chief baker. He also tells the Pharaoh it came to pass just as he interpreted for us. Now we know why God caused the pair to have dreams in prison that the butler would never forget. Okay? You know, when we read the scripture, say, I don't know why God did that. Just read a little further. You'll probably find out why. It was all a part of the providence of God. And now let's look at the perspective of Joseph. After hearing the testimony of the chief butler, the Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream. And there's no one. Uh-oh, I've had a dream. Does that sound familiar? Come on, history guys. I've had a dream. And there is no one who can interpret it, but I have heard said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it. Now, what would you have done in Joseph's place? Now, they brought you out of the prison, okay? They've shaved you, very possibly your head as well, because the Egyptians wore shaved heads. They shaved off all of his beard. They gave him a clean set of clothes. Whether or not they gave him a bath, I don't know. But they bring him in right directly before Pharaoh, okay? Now, Pharaoh's had a dream, and he wants you to interpret it, okay? Do you want to go back to prison? No. So what would you do in Joseph's place? He was sent to prison because of the lies of Potiphar's wife. He had spent two additional long years in prison because the butler he befriended forgot him. Have you ever thought, if I were the judge? Okay. I mean, all the time I watch stuff going on TV, or I listen to the daily news and all the things that are going on. I said, they wouldn't want to bring the individual before me if I was the judge. Okay? We've all done it, haven't we? Okay? If I were the judge. But guess what? I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge. I think I know what I might have said under the circumstances, though. Mr. Pharaoh, the interpreting of these dreams will save your country from destruction. But before I interpret them, we need to make a little deal. In the first place, there is a matter of that woman Potiphar calls a wife. Secondly, where is that guy you call a butler? However, no such words came from Joseph's mouth because his perspective on life was the same as that of Jesus. What was Jesus' perspective on life? What did Jesus do when he was railed against? What did Jesus do when he was picked on? 1 Peter 2:21 says, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When? What did I say about what's going to happen? When what? When someone betrays you? When your friends, you know, leave you alone? When someone upsets you? When he was reviled, he did not revile in turn. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. What does that mean? What does it mean? Someone's right in your face, and they're telling you just exactly how the cow ate the cabbage, and you're the cause of it. Okay? What are you supposed to do? Just give it right back to them, right? Okay? What did Jesus say to do when the person smacks you on the right side of the cheek? Turn the other cheek. Now, he's talking about from the standpoint of your relationship to the Lord and the idea of you being involved in a religious situation. You know, if a gunman's coming through the door firing his gun, it doesn't mean you stand and wait till he shoots you on the other side of your cheek. Okay? But, despite what happened, he knows God's in charge. Therefore, there is no hatred or bitterness in his heart. Did he have reason? Could he have responded naturally? Yes. Nothing is as devastating to our spiritual lives as our unwillingness to forgive those who hurt us. The most important part of Jesus' teaching and his model prayer has to do with forgiveness. Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts. What's that next word? We don't like that word, do we? Okay? As, what's it mean? It means God's going to forgive as we forgive. Believers who will not forgive those who wrong them should hope that they never sin, because forgiving others is a prerequisite for receiving God's forgiveness. In Matthew 6:14 to 15, Jesus makes the only footnote, the only application to any part of the model prayer. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But, what's that next word again? If you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. The old natural man, can he forgive? No, he cannot. Do you know why? He's natural. Okay? He doesn't understand that to forgive is going to be to his own benefit. Okay? But we who have the Spirit of God in us, the Bible says one of the gifts of that Spirit that came is the gift of L-O-V-E. Okay? Love. Not doing very good. Not doing what God, not doing what we might naturally do, but doing what we might supernaturally do because of what? Because of the Holy Spirit. Thus, this truth is critically important. What is it? Failing to forgive others will secretly ruin our spiritual health, just as termites destroy a house from the inside out. When we forgive others, it should not be with just words, but with real forgiveness from the heart. In Matthew 18, Jesus tells the parable of a man who is forgiven a debt equaling millions of dollars, but then refuses to forgive an insignificant debt worth only a few hundred dollars. He goes, remember, and he asks to be forgiven. Oh, please forgive me. And the master forgives him. But then he goes out and he finds those that owed him something. Okay? The picture is, how much of a debt do we owe God because of our sin? Okay? You remember that song we sang right toward the end of the service this morning? Redeemed. What? Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. You know what the word redeemed actually is in the original language? It's the word agorazo, okay? And then there's the word ex agorazo that goes along with it. It means to be purchased or to be bought out. It's like you were a slave in a slave market and Jesus came and paid the penalty of your debt. As a result, his master sent him, has him punished until he repays what he owes. That's what happened to the one who was not willing to forgive the smaller debt. What is the debt that someone can possibly owe us compared to what we owe the Lord? There's no understanding, okay? You know, if you charge each one of your sins at a dollar apiece, okay? Every sin of thought and deed for a dollar apiece. How much you think you owe God? Brother Lester was talking about a while ago some healthcare law that if you disclose someone's name, it costs you $250,000. That would be literally a drop in a bucket compared to what we owe God. To conclude this parable, what does Jesus say? So my heavenly Father also will do you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Does the scripture make it pretty plain that if we're an unforgiving person, we've got a real, real problem? Okay. And is there any debt that we shouldn't be able to forgive? Perhaps the number one cause for spiritual immaturity is refusing to forgive those who sin against us. I believe the primary reason God so blessed Joseph was his willingness to forgive all who sinned against him. Before explaining the meaning of the two dreams, Joseph says to the Pharaoh, "It is not in me." What's he going to do here? What's he doing? Giving God the glory. It's not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Joseph makes it clear that it's not God, or it's clear that it is God who gives him the ability to interpret the dream. The Pharaoh recounts the dream to Joseph. Genesis 41:25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, "The dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what?" What's the next word? He is about to do. Okay? You turn on the TV and you begin to listen to people, especially about the news broadcast, and what do they say? Mother Nature. Okay? Mother Nature. Okay? Who's in charge of everything that goes on in the world? God is, okay? I mean, that's really difficult for us to comprehend. But either God causes it or God allows it, okay? Now, why God allows some of the things He allows? What is the question? We don't ask. Only God knows, okay? But we don't ask the word why, okay? Or how even, okay? Because God is in control. But Joseph tells him, he says, God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. So you better do what? You better get ready. Then Joseph explains that the dreams mean there will be 7 years of abundant harvest, followed by 7 years of famine that will deplete the land. Interesting enough, I was reading this morning about the idea of him standing beside the river. And they talked about the Nile River, when the Nile River in this flooding time of the year, when it got up to 4 meters, they said they were going to have really bad crops. But if it got up to 6 meters, they were going to have great crops. Do you hear what the guys are all talking about in relation to the Rio Grande River right now? Well, they're talking about the fact there's not enough water flowing in it, so therefore they're going to have to cut off the water flowing to some of the farmers down south of us, okay? And then they're going to have depleted crops. So the things haven't changed. It still has to do with the river. Remember the book of Revelation tells us there's a river of life flowing from the throne of God, okay? Genesis 41:32, and the doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about, okay? The doubled dream, like telling you twice. Genesis 41:34, let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land. Now this is Joseph still giving counsel to Pharaoh. He says, let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take one fifth. Now I don't know where he got that figure from unless God gave it to him. That's how I would say. One fifth of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years. And store it to be used as a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine. Whoop, I got rears instead of years. The providence of God and the perspective of Joseph lead to finally the promotion from where? Yeah, we say Pharaoh, but yeah, what is the word in parentheses? Yeah, because the Pharaoh's heart is in the hands of God. Pharaoh was so impressed that we read, then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. What did he attempt to do? He attempted to get all of his wise men of Egypt to give him an answer for his dream. And what did he get? Nothing. But what does he do now? He stands before this man by the name of Joseph, and he says, Joseph, you are the wisest of all. Genesis 41:39, you shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. Put yourself in Joseph's place. Talk about shock and awe. Okay? Wouldn't that? What do you think Joseph's response was? I know, but what do you think once he was able to speak, what do you think he said? Praise the Lord. I think that's exactly what he said. Praise the Lord. In other words, the Pharaoh appoints Joseph to the equivalent of prime minister of the nation of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. I want you to do a little more math for me, okay? We're going to have 7 years of plenty, which is going to make him 37 years old. And then we're going to have 7 years of drought, which is going to make him... Yeah, guess who's going to come to see him in those latter years? His brothers. It has been 13 years since his brothers sold him as a slave. Though Joseph is only 30 years old, God has used 13 years of adversity to accelerate his maturity and hone his impeccable character. Romans 5:3. Not only that, but we, what's that next word? Rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. You're probably more familiar with it being stated this way. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer. It is one thing to submit to enduring tribulations without complaint, but it is another to find ground of glory in the midst of them, as Paul exhorts here. So when we are trifled with, so when someone upsets us, when we are wrong, what are we supposed to say? Really, what are we supposed to say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Okay. Whether it be good or whether it be bad, what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Adversity caused accelerated spiritual growth. Joseph's problems were not a chain of events generated by bad, what's that next word? What is luck? What is the luck? If you have the proper understanding of the word luck, it's okay. Okay. Living under correct knowledge. L-U-C-K. Living under correct knowledge. Where's correct knowledge come from? The Bible. The pit, Potiphar's wife, the prison, and the prisoners were all allowed by a loving God. To do what? Have you picked up on what's going on yet? To do what? What was all these travesties allowed for? For growth, for maturity on the part of this young man who is now going to be 30 years of age. And where is he going to stand at 30 years of age? As a prime minister of Egypt. Is that young? It really is young. Why did God allow Joseph to be a slave and a prisoner before elevating him? He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. What does it mean? It means Joseph is faithful to the Lord in times of adversity. So the Lord knows he will be faithful during. I have known people in my pastoral life that when they were only making $100 a week, they gave $10 to the Lord. Okay? But when they got to the point that they were making $500 a week, they couldn't afford to give God the money then. They couldn't afford to give Him, how much would it have been? $50. Okay? How much more did they have left over? But they don't see it that way. Okay? They don't see it that way. Why? Because there wasn't apparently enough adversity in their lives. Therefore, God elevates Joseph to become ruler over all of Egypt, the most powerful in the country and the world at that time. His second only to Pharaoh. The next 7 years produce much abundance that, according to Genesis 41:49, and Joseph stored up grain in great abundance like the sand of the sea until he ceased to measure it, for it could not be measured. How much does he store it up? A lot. A bunch. Okay? A lot. A bunch. After becoming prime minister of Egypt, Joseph marries and has two sons to whom he gives very insightful names. Anybody know what their names are before we get to them? The first one, his name starts with an M. Manasseh. Okay? Manasseh. You know what the word Manasseh means? Names in the Bible meant much more than they do today. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my hardships and all my father's house. How much has he forgotten? All those trials and tribulations that he went through for the last, how many years? 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, however old he is now when this child is born. Okay? He's forgot them all. Where? In the face of this child that he names Manasseh. He who makes me forget. The name Manasseh literally means he who makes to forget. It is simply impossible. Look at this, folks. It is simply impossible to enjoy our blessings if we're not willing to forgive people who have wronged us. Why? We sing the old song, Count Your Many Burdens, right? Huh? Is that what we sing? What happens when you count your burdens, or when you count your pains, or even if you count your age? Huh? Woe is me. Count your many blessings. Moreover, one of the greatest joys of the Christian life is forgiving others. When somebody wrongs you, you tell them, I forgive you. And you really mean it. How does it affect them? You go over into the New Testament, it talks about heaping coals of fire on their heads. Okay? There's your reason for forgiveness, huh? When we forgive, we bring a little bit of heaven into our lives while we're still on earth. On the other hand, refusing to forgive is to live in a hell of what? Our own making while on earth. In his book, The Great Divorce, Oxford scholar C.S. Lewis. Here's one of Pastor's favorites, okay? C.S. Lewis describes hell as a place where no one ever forgets anything and instead remembers every hurt, every cruel word, every harmful act, and no one forgives. You know, I can think back over my 66 years of the people who offended me, okay? I can remember initially that my one who was actually my biological father, okay? My mother was pregnant out of wedlock, and guess what he did? He left the state. Okay? I met him when I became 21 years of age in a beer joint. Okay? He offered me a beer, I offered him the Bible. Okay? But you know what? I don't have any problem with that guy. Okay? I don't have any problem with that guy. I forgive him. Pastoring numerous churches, I had people who did me and my family wrong time and time again. Do you think I want to bring those things back up and dwell on them? You know what it does? It ruins the present. Okay? Now certainly they're not totally gone. I can still remember some of them that old age hasn't taken away. Okay? But the ones that do come up, I say, I did what? I forgave them. Therefore I don't have to carry that with me. If you want to live in a hell on earth, refuse to forgive those who wrong you. If you want to live in a heaven on earth, obey the command found in Colossians 3:13. Bearing with. Some of you are just impossible to bear with. Paul says, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also, next word, must forgive. It is very significant. Joseph named his first son Manasseh, which means to forgive. Did this mean he had forgotten about his brothers, the pit, Potiphar's wife, the prison, and the chief butler? No. Had he forgotten the false accusation, the suffering, the humiliation, the loneliness? No. He could never forget all that, but he had forgotten the pain associated with those things. Okay? He allowed them to dissipate in his own mind. Instead of allowing them to spoil his present and future blessing, he decided to put his past hurts aside. He knew what had happened in the past was over. He could never change the past. And if he was to be God's man, he couldn't. What's the next word? And to be active in avenging is to take revenge. Okay. What does the scripture say? We are not to revenge. We are not to avenge ourselves. But we're to do what? Allow God to do it. Allow God to do it. So he forgot the hurt, forgave those who had wronged him. Philippians 3:13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. What have those last two passages of Scripture had to say? What about the things that are historical in your life? Don't let them become hysterical again. Okay? They are hysterical. I mean, they're historical. Leave them back there. Forget about them. It is also significant Joseph named his second son Ephraim, Genesis 41:52, which means doubly fruitful. Doubly fruitful. Joseph knew no one could be fruitful until they were willing to forgive. If you're living in the present with the pain of past hurts and injustices, you will never feel blessed in the present. You cannot be happy in the present, no matter what your blessing might be, unless you're willing to forget the pain of the past and forgive those who you hold to be responsible. When the 7 years of abundant harvest ends, the 7 bad years come, and the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. Guess what the next verse is going to say? The famine extends outside the borders of Egypt to other countries who have not prepared for it. So all countries came to Joseph. Genesis 41:57. Moreover, all they, I like the next word. All the earth came to Egypt to Joseph. Man, I mean, it's one thing to get a promotion, okay? It's one thing to get a promotion, okay? But you know what people did when Joseph walked down the street? They bowed down, okay? It was as if though who was there? Pharaoh, okay? Because Pharaoh was only taking care of, you know, his little bailiwick, and guess who left the rest of it to? I mean, a little later we're going to find out if you get hungry and you got a problem, you know, guess who you're going to have to take it to? You're going to have to take it to Joseph, okay? Thus, God is setting the stage for the next scene in Joseph's exemplary life. Joseph had refused to walk in the counsel of the ungodly or to follow in the path of sinners. Where does that come from? Whoop, too quick. Nor would he sit in the seat of scornful. Instead, he delighted in the ways of God. Therefore, he shall be like a tree planted by... Here comes that again. But notice what this statement is, okay? It doesn't say river, okay? A river only gives what? A little bit of water, or so much water. What do rivers give? Abundant water. So rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in a season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whether he does shall prosper. Conclusion. Joseph was only able to enjoy his blessings because he was willing to forget and forgive. Is there a hurt? Actually, I should say you need to forget, or a person you need to forgive. If there is, won't you trust God and do it? When? Actually, now would be best time. Right now. If my singers will come and join me, we'll close our service by worshiping in song. Brother Bill, if you'd come stand in the front, if someone would like to come and pray with you or talk to you or seek your counsel, okay?